Glad you're here tonight. I wish you could have been here this morning. Two of God's precious servants really set a table for us. And we got to feast from the bread of God, sitting at the table of God. If you found your place in Galatians 6, I'll call your attention to verse number 14. I'll say before I read the verse. Last evening we talked about Christ with us, the incarnation. Tonight we're going to talk about Christ for us, redemption. And of course that act of redemption took place at Calvary. It's where he redeemed us by shedding his precious blood, pouring out his life, so that you and I could have that life poured into us and we could enjoy him. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Let's pray. Father, you said in your word that you manifest your word through preaching. So I ask you tonight, Lord, to give me a door of utterance, and I may make known the mysteries of Christ in the manner in which I ought to. And not only would maximum glory be given to Christ, but we would see the wonderful price he paid for us so that we can enjoy him in a personal relationship where the hope that goes way beyond this world into the life that is to come. Have your will and way in Christ's name. Amen. That great hymn writer, Isaac Watts, penned down these words and said, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, when I survey the cross," what a subject, "on which the Prince of Glory died," what a Savior, "all of a sudden my soul begins to cry within me, forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the cross of Christ my God. Because I've come to realize that it is love so divine that demands my soul, my life, my all. And it's because of what he did for me." And in the verse he tells us, it's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, this cross is a treasure island that God wants you to explore. You see, the real cross is a knowledge of God coming down to us, laying bare the heart of God. You want to see the heart of God? Take a look at Calvary. You see, hanging there on that earth, that was God saying, "I love you this much." Showing us what it is that he paid for your sins and mine. This is a practical theme. And my sole purpose tonight is to get you to stop and survey the cross. If I can get you to Calvary as a sinner or a saint, it'll be of great benefit to you. And as the songwriter, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, when we come to realize that this is the climax of Christ's mission, there's where it climaxed. But it's the center of the Christian message. You know from reading your Bible, when you stand at the cross in the Old Testament, you're looking back to what is leading up to this point. And when you look at the New Testament, you're looking at what is coming back to Calvary to show you what he wants in your life and my life. It all centers around the cross of Jesus Christ. But the thing that I find is there's no appetite for the cross. We don't have a palate for it. We don't seem to have a taste for the study of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said, but God forbid, far be it from me, that I should boast in anything or anyone save, we'll use the word, except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the writer here is telling us by divine inspiration, you got nothing else to boast in. I don't care what you got. I don't know what your talents are. I don't know what your abilities are, but you've got nothing outside of Calvary. It all comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what I'm trying to tell you is the cross is the revelation of redemption. If we're going to know anything about redemption, we've got to look at the cross. It's where redemption is laid bare before our very eyes. Here is the very Father's heart as it is laid open, revealing to us the fathomable love of God for you. Take 5 minutes and sit down and try to imagine everything God created. They've never discovered the galaxies that are beyond the galaxies that they've discovered now, and there's galaxies outside of galaxies with planets in the millions. But this great God created you. He didn't die for Jupiter, Mars. He died for you. When I say that, I'm saying that God loved you so much, he was willing to give himself for you. He did it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Can you hear the Lord Jesus hanging there on the cross? And here's what he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is not the declaration of an isolated individual. That's a declaration of redemption for you and me. You see, it's a revelation of his heart. He's laying bare his heart so we can look. It's God saying, look, what I did for you goes down deeper than sin can ever go. If what he did on Calvary couldn't go deeper than your sins, honey, you ain't got nothing. What he did had to go deeper down than hell itself to redeem us from the jaws of sin and death. I'm talking about what he did for us. You see, you and I have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he died on Calvary, he said, what I want you to know. Redemption's complete. There's nothing to be added. There's nothing that can be added. It's complete. It's accomplished. He said, it is finished. The full price for the world's sin. Your Bible tells you he died for the world. Hell is full of souls that are frying in the smut walls of the damned, whose sin debt had been paid. Can you fathom it? The worst of the day that we live in, God doesn't love them less than he loves you. He didn't pay a price for them less than he paid for you. If you read, I think it's 2 Peter chapter 2, it opens up, he died for the false prophets. It tells you clearly that he did. You see, we have to come. That's the reason he said, come unto me. And when we do, we believe. And in that believing, we receive. I don't know if any of you have ever read, and I'm not recommending, I'm just throwing out this, okay? William Barclay's book on Acts, who was a Greek scholar. And he proves how the word believe and receive goes hand in hand, and they're together. You can't believe without receiving, and you can't receive until you believe. It's awesome. And you see what Christ is saying to you and me. If you'll just come, you can take of the water of life freely. Man, what an awesome God that you and I've got. How we ought to worship him and adore him. I hear his exclamation. He's exclaiming something. He said, it is finished. And in making that statement, if you look at it, it's a strong cry. There's no weak voice here. He said, it is finished. It's a triumphant cry, listen, of satisfaction. He's not only exclaiming what he's done, he's saying, I'm satisfied. It is finished. So he's given it to you and me, and he said, now you go out and proclaim it. That's proclamation. You go tell what it is that I have done. It's actually a consummation. He's actually... sin is finished. It's over. It's complete. The work is done. There's nothing else to be done. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. John chapter 17. He is saying, I have finished the whole work of redemption. And the word finished is our word. Amen. That's the end of it. You see, that's the reason why your pastor declares to you over and over, whosoever will. How could you preach that if you didn't know he had paid the sin debt for everybody? It would be an... You see, he's not going to repeat Calvary. There's nothing that has not been completed. It's finished. So I can go to Wales. I can go to Africa. I can go to Jamaica. I can go to Mexico. And get up and preach, whosoever will, let him come. Because I'm fully aware, he paid the sin debt in full. What this Bible is telling you and me is that he's redeemed us from death into life when we take what he did for us. Here's an eternal fact of the heart of Almighty God. It's not an incident. It's not an accident. It's a message from the heart of God. He's exhibiting that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, prophecy pointed to Calvary. The incarnation was preparation for Calvary. The transfiguration promised Calvary. Pentecost produced Calvary. Was a product, rather, of Calvary. You see, at this cross there was a miracle. In this cross there is a message. There's a mystery there. There's a majesty there. Any way you look at the cross, it's bigger than you are. But it's a joy to look at it and see what He's done for you and me. Just simply because He loved you. You see, you didn't ask God to die for you. He died for you without you even asking for it. He died for you ever got here. But I promise you, the songwriter was right when he penned down the words, when He was on the cross, you were on His mind. Oh, absolutely. You see, there is no magic in this cross, though. You see, this is not a drug to be taken. This is not something you bring into your life to see if it'll fit into the situation in which you're in. I know religion preaches that and people say it all the time, but that's not so. No, it's a message, my friend, of universal redemption. God paid sin's debt in full. You see, the cross of Christ is unique. But that cross must be transposed into our life. And when it is, it changes our life. And the Christ of Calvary begins to live in and through us. And it's all because of the work of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's not only a relationship. There has to be a resemblance here. The Christian life and the Christ life must look alike. There must be something in your life that shows Jesus Christ is part of your life. Is the cross a part of your life? When I was pastoring, we had young people that wanted to go to Bible college or wanted to go to a Christian school after graduating, go to college. And, of course, I would check them out. I wanted to find out what they taught and what they were doing. And way back then, we had some mighty good colleges. But did you know I never found one college that taught the principles of the cross? You see, there'll be no repetition of Calvary. It'll never be repeated. But there can be a resemblance of it in your life and my life, that the world can see. There's a reality in knowing and serving Christ. It's not worth a dime for me to have the message of the cross and to have the steeple with the cross on it outside the church if the cross is not in the life of those inside the church. The world's not listening to what we're saying. They're looking at the way you're living. If they see reality in their life, then they will listen to what you say. Somebody said, since I've been here, that they got saved and they discovered the guy that worked next to them was a preacher and he had never said nothing to them about Christ. You see, there ought to have been something in his life that would say it as well as his words. True? Yeah. You get saved and bust your finger on the job. You won't cuss. When you grow in grace and the Lord, I know that you get saved, you're a babe in Christ. I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I'm just simply trying to tell you there must be a change. And the thing that changes is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say it again, it's the revelation of redemption. He's revealing to you and I this wonderful subject of redemption. When I accept Christ as my life and my life is regenerated, then it ceases to be my life, it's His life. So He lives it as He pleases in our heart and our life. When you get saved, you take on the disposition of Christ. It's the forgiver. You take on His disposition, His character. When you study the scriptures and you look at the men that wrote the New Testament and how God changed their lives. And I know cropping up in your mind right now is Peter. But when God filled that man with the Holy Spirit, his life was totally changed. He became what the scripture says. So when I take on Christ, he says it this way in John 1, but as many, let me put it this way, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God. It's by receiving him that we get this new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we take on the characteristics of the Lord himself, and the way he manifested is through your body. I'm not trying to be funny. Try to love your wife about your body. Try to love your brothers and sisters at the house of God without your body. Leave it at home one Sunday and come in and love the crowd. He wants your BOD, right? To manifest to those around us this wonderful love of Christ. He wants to manifest it, as I said last night, in our human bodies. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When you get saved, John 4, he puts a well in you. And it's springing up into everlasting life. For you. And the more you learn about God, and the more he fills you, John 7, it's rivers running out of you. I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not. But did you know this river? I guess you'd call it a river, whatever. This stream? It runs outside the church. Did you know it'll wet the property 5 miles up the road and the property next to it and the property next to it and the property next to it? When I was raised on the farm, it was a dirt farm, okay? At the back of the house, there was a river. And going down from the house to the bottom land, that's flat land. We plant corn. Yeah. But that down there next to the river where the water and the moisture was at, it'd be so green it was nearly black. But the further it got away from the river, coming up toward the house up the hill, it would begin to change to a yellow-looking green. You see, that had done that to the property before ours and the property before that. What I'm trying to get across to you, if you get full of God and he starts flowing out of you, everywhere you go, you'll touch lives. For the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, it ain't you. It's the river in you. Amen. I know it's a practical application, but could I tell you it'll work in your heart and your life? Have you chosen with Isaac Watts to survey the wondrous cross and see what God has really done for you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You need to stop and realize God's object of love was the world. And you and I, he saved out of that world. I guess I could say it somewhat like this. It may not be all kosher, but let me say it anyway. When I was a kid in Sunday school, a Sunday school teacher taught me to quote John 3:16 like this. For God so loved Dennis Petty that he gave his only begotten son. And you just say, take the world out and put your name in. So I took the world out and I put my name in. One day God saved me. Yeah. And all of a sudden I seen he took my name out and put the world back in. Then what he said to his son, I want you to go into the world and redeem. He said to me, as the Father sent me, so send I you. I want you now to go into that world and preach the gospel. The word there is herald, to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, when that whosoever become me, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. All of a sudden the world went back in and I come out. And then he said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And it's all because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think about this thing. Believe is the abandonment of all claims to merit. I want to say it again. Believe. This wonderful thing that you and I agree with is how you get saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Belief is the abandonment of all claims of merit. That's the reason it's hard to be saved. Listen closely and I'll explain it. There ain't one of you that got saved didn't wrestle with your sin and yourself. Believe in him is easy when you can abandon all your merit. But you see, it's hard for us to X him out. We hear the preacher say, and the preacher is right, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But you know as well as I do, if you've been saved, you wrestle. Conviction, could I put it in these terms without being ugly, is hell on earth. When God gets a hold of us and rings us with his blessed word. Son, it's hard to abandon all merit. Reason we don't want to preach that, because we don't believe God would save them anyway. He said, strive to enter in. We don't hear that preached either, do we? It's hard to die. This old guy won't lay down quick. He won't lay down easy. You know I'm telling you the truth. If you've been born again, you got under Holy Ghost conviction. No man can come to the Father except he draw. And when he draws us through the preaching of the gospel, easiest thing in the world is to be saved. But the hard thing in the world is to deny yourself and abandon all merit. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. I could relive it again tonight. I was about on this side. in a church altar. And as I told you, I gave God every bargain in the world. He wouldn't have a one of them. But I never shall forget it. When I looked up, and literally, this is not a demonstration. This literally happened. When I looked up and I reached up with my hand like that to get a hold of God. Somewhere between here and there, I was born into the family of God. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful Savior. So you won't misunderstand me. I believe in preaching whosoever will. I believe in preaching the simplicity of salvation. I believe in preaching the cross. But at the same time, I'm fully aware I died hard. Died hard. Let me ask you now. I'm through. I went over 2 minutes. I'm through. Yeah. What are you going to do with the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? I say it this way. The cross is a gateway into his life. It's a gateway into his life. How would you like to have his life? Bow your heads. Father, thank you for this time together with your people. Thank you, Lord, for the manner in which they have so graciously listened. I pray that you would bless them for being so attentive. But at the same time, Lord, I pray for that one that's seated before me, that they're keenly aware that God is fingering about their heart right now. And they need to make some decisions for Christ. Would you give them the boldness and the grace to do that? Lord, help them to know. I'm certain that they may say, but I don't know what to do. Spirit of God, would you make it real to them that you got some men in this building that know what to do? And we'd love to give them that information. They don't have to know. They can just come. Just come. We'll show them what to do. Not only to be saved, but to get help in their life as believers. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.